But the Nakuda that I am interested in right now is because of the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Hey, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Yafutsu Mayinoisecha Chutza Birchoivois Palge Moim. So it's a very interesting Lashon. Yafutsu Mayinoisecha, your Ma'ayonos. Ma'ayonos always represents creativity, because a Mayon is Venasika Mayon Hamizgaber. A mayon is something that is constantly producing fresh waters, and it's not just a base kibul for waters that have come from the rain or from the rivers. This is not a mekabel of hashpa from others. This is a makar hashpa to others. And then it says in the pasuk, Yafutsu mayasecha chutza barachovos palge mayim. In other words, the mayon spreads, barachovos, not one rechov, and it's describing the chutza, barachovos palge mayim. The mayonos are sources of water for many rechovos. And that means, of course, many talmidim, and also many sfarim. Next pasuk says, Yiyu l'chol v'atecha, ve'ein l'zarim itoch. So I mentioned the Malbim, and you have the Malbim here in the sheets in front of you. The Malbim says, v'hagam sheyispashtu mayonos chochmoscha achutza, yiyu ashmuos ne'amoros al shimcha, v'chein scha hachochma yiyu l'chol v'atecha. So even though the person is ultimately kind of a pipeline, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the koach and the understanding to be able to interpret the Torah, because everything new is really a new understanding of the old. There's nothing really new. Ein kol chadosh. Because chadosh is a problem. What do you mean new? It has to fit into the framework of the Torah that's given Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai Mistar Yoshua. But in the same way that the Gemara records that Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to comprehend the Mahalach of Rabbi Akiva, until Rabbi Akiva said, Dabazah halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So each door has its koyach to be mechadish according to the havana of that door and the perceptions of that door. So there's a yafutsu mayinoisecha, that there's a koyach achidush. But the chidush is really the understanding of that door of something that is being revealed of the old. It's always of the old. It always traces itself back to the Masaira of Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai. And that's what Chazal meant, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hera loy l'Moshe, afilu ma she'talmid vasik osid l'chadosh. So the idea of Yafutsu mayinoisecha, would think that since he's only the middleman in the giving over of that little sliver of Torah from Maimed Har Sinai to the door that he is in, so as a middleman, maybe he gets just schar for being a middleman, and that's it. But the Torah doesn't belong to him. So that's what the pasuk says, Yiyu l'chol v'atecha, that the shmois will be ne'amores al shimcha. Number one, you have a recognized authorship here, because v'bal the koyach achidush was given dafka to you. So therefore, if you are the source of that chidush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you the authorship, ke'ilu you said something that never existed before. And secondly, he says, that you get the schar of the chokhmah, hagam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that chokhmah. So why should you get schar for something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you and didn't give anybody else? Afal pikein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still rewards you. It's a special zuchus that you have, that you were given the opportunity. Vibald, maybe because a person still has Bechira Chavshis to squash, to temper, to undermine the Kaychus that he has, and not to reveal what he's able to reveal. So the fact that he's Yogeya to do so gives him the Schach. And then he adds something very interesting. The Ein Lazarim Itoch. What does it mean that the strangers do not share with you? Ratzaloymar. Hagam shetalmidecha hamefitzim chochmoscha gam lohem yiyeschal itoch heim einam zorim ki nechshovim kebonecha. A very fascinating interpretation by the Malbim, because there could be other pshatim. But the Malbim says something interesting. He says, a person's Torah is spread through the Talmidim that he has. He says, nevertheless, you should never feel What does the Chazal say? Bakol Adam Iskane Chutz Mibinoi VeTalmidai. So the Talmidim, like Bonim, have that koyach that they are merely an extension of the Rebbe. That's how the Rebbe perceives them, and that's how they are. So that's what it means. Ve'ein lezarim itach. Yiru l'cholav adecha, ve'ein lezarim itach. Hagam that the Torah spread throughout the world, but it is still your chelek in the Torah. That remains. It's spread through Talmidim. The answer is, but that's also you, because the Talmidim are an extension of yourself. That's what the Malbim is saying. In this pasuk, Yafutzu Ma'ayonosecha, the chaf of Ma'ayonosecha, your Ma'ayonos, is something that the Sefer Chassidim emphasizes. In other words, your unique contribution is something that you have an obligation to give over, and you have the responsibility to make it happen. It's as if someone is charged with a shlichus, and he must fulfill his shlichus. Except the shlichus of creativity is a unique kind of shlichus. Because if you sit back, the creation doesn't happen. And you may not even realize that you have the creation inside of you. So it's a very unique thing. Let's take a look at the lashon of the Sefer Chassidim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goyzer mi yiyeh chocham u'ma chochmosoi v'kama shonim v'kama sforim yaseh. You hear a lashon? The Sefer Chassidim says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is goyzer in a person when he's born. He already plants in the person how much of a chocham he's going to be. What is the nature of his chokhmah? How many years will he have to produce that chokhmah? And how many sfarim is he supposed to write? Yesh goyzer alav sha'isa sefer echad o'shnayim o'shloisha. V'chein b'talmud, v'chein lifta kroya, v'chein b'soydes acheres. V'chol mi shegil oloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu dova v'eina kaisva, v'yochol lichtoiv, hare goyzel mi shegil oloi. Ki loy gil oloi ela lichtoiv, d'chsiv, Said Hashem li reyav uvrisay lohidiyam. Uksiv, and he brings our pasuk. First, he brings a pasuk and Tehillim. Now he brings our pasuk. Yafutzu ma'inoisecha chutza. V'zeh shekosuv yovi b'mishpat al kol ne'alam shegoyrim shenelam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the koyach to reveal, and he suppressed it, and it remained hidden. So the pasuk in Kohelet says that Ki al kol eila yovi Hashem b'mishpat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge this person and condemn him for keeping hidden that which he gave him the koyach to reveal, and he was responsible to reveal it. Shegoyrem shenelam, and he's goyrem instead that it should remain hidden. Im toiv shegiloloi imra she'ena kaisva. So he interprets im toiv imra, not one or the other, but he says im toiv because it was toiv, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that toiv, and it is ra on his part that he didn't write it down and share it with the rest of the world. Tzadikim ha'ikam mutznam loy lamabah, and then he gets involved in the whole inyan of tzadik v'raloy and the whole inyan of schar v'yoynish, and he gets involved in Reb Chanina ben Doisa. It's a very fascinating thing. But for our purposes now, we will continue with the Bris Olam. So the Mefarshim on the Sefer Chassidim. So he says, Ba'akdom ha'sefer choshuv lev aryeh kosav mishem razal. I don't know where this chazal is. I looked for it. But he says in the name of Chazal, or maybe he means earlier Chachomim, Bisman Shabes Hamigdosh Kayam Kisha Odom Makriv Korban Miskaperlo, U Kisha Odom Kaisek Besefer Mashaloi made Ezechidosh, Haksiva Zuhi Oiloloi Bemokam Korban. Very interesting. It's a very novel idea. Now we have in the Gemara at the end of Maseches Menachos, as you probably know, those of course who learned Daf Yomi, it's not all that long ago. So the Gemara says that if a person learns, it says Zois Toiras Hoyla, and also the pasuk Zois HaToyra LoOyla LaMincha LaChatos, etc. So these two psukim are megala that if a person learns Toiras Hoyla, it's Keilu Hikriv Hoyla, and also in general, if a person learns Torah, it's as if he was Makriv a Karban. So here, it's not learning Torah that he's talking about; he's talking about being Mechadish Torah. That the chidush is a carbon. So obviously, if you're mechadish, you're learning. Although, I don't want to be overly sarcastic, but there are plenty of people mechadish without learning at all. Sometimes I can't help myself. Abba Lamaisa, it's clear that what he's driving at, and this is the point that I'm trying to make, is that naturally when he's doing the learning to be able to be mechadish, that itself is like a carbon. But here he's adding something. Besides the carbon of the learning itself, he's mechadish to us that when you say chidushim and you produce them and you write them, so the writing is also akravas carbon. I had a very interesting thought. For a person who is a mayan hamizgaber, believe it or not, writing is almost impossible. In fact, the goyin, when it goes to that extreme, he wasn't able to write anything anymore after a certain age. The mind was just going too fast. And there are certain anokim giants who are not on that madrega necessarily, but giants just the same, who are constantly proliferating, constantly producing. And they can't catch up with themselves. So a lot of the chidushim, they simply never get a chance to be written because the production is interfering with the writing. In the end, writing is recording, and if you want to write well for someone else to understand, it becomes very, very tedious. Furthermore, dvarim shebichsav yatara shoyil omram alpeh, dvarim shebalpeh yatara shoyil koisva. So there's also a chesaron in writing Torah that's Torah shebalpeh. So really, the Torah should be taught to Talmidim Baal Peh. But nevertheless, Eis Lasseis Lashem, in the same way that we have the writing of the Gemara, we have the writing of Svarim. Because without that, we will not have the Sefer, we will not have those Chidushim, we won't have those Torahs. But the Etzem, the writing itself, is problematic on two levels. It's very tedious and very difficult for a person who is a Mayan HaMechadish Tamid. And it's also not so poshut that it can be written, L'chatchila. So in this b'dieved activity, afal pikein, since it's critically necessary, because without that writing, all that chidushim, all those chidushim, that Torah will be lost, so it is ke'ilu hikriv karbon. What I'm trying to say is that it really is a karbon mamish. It's like when you have a tainis, it's miut domi v'chelbi. The person makes it his business because he wants it to remain for others, to stifle his own creativity for that time and to write it out in a way that others can comprehend it is mamish like a tainis where you're not eating, it eats up some of your fat. Here, the koyach hachidush has to be suppressed. So that's ke'ilu hikriv karbon. In any case, that's what he writes in the name of the Lev Aryeh. And he says a pshat in the posuk as a result. Zevach u'mincha loy chafatzta, the pasuk says that Yaakov Baruch Hu, you really don't want karbonis, like it says in Sefer Shmuel, also the same thing, Hayirtza Hashem, and another of other places. But so he says, what does it mean? That instead of the karbonos, which in any case HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you don't really want it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I don't want those karbonos, I want you. So instead, Ozamarti b'megila sefer kosuv aloi, I will write instead of the karbonos, and you will consider it as if it was a karbon. That's how he touches up the pasuk v'erich bebir and yonim, etc. V'yisi b'sefer abenu Ephraim ala Torah k'sav yad parshas kisisa shekosim shim rabbe lozer megarmaiza zichrom levrocha shekol mi shemegalin loy rozei Torah min hashamayim v'enoi koisvoi osid li tenes hadin. In Romania, there was a goyin by the name of Reb David Sperber, and he wrote a tshuva sefer called Afraxo da Anya. And in the Hakdama to that tshuva sefer, he goes into an Arichus Dvorim about this sefer Chasidim's point that you have to write your Torah that you were mechadish. Before we go into it, I wanted to dwell upon something that I've been speaking about over the years in a number of venues. Everybody has in him a koyach ha-hoylodo. And I want it to be mechalik between two very different things. There is in a person his own integrity, his own uniqueness, his own personality. in every possible area. No two people are the same. When a person sees something in a certain way, that's what you might call an insight. But insights are always based on knowledge. You can never have an insight without knowledge. Now, in the day-to-day experience, the background of one's life provides that knowledge, and you don't even think of it that way. But when a person is, l'moshel, a pikeach, so it's not the person that's born yesterday, and he has this incredible intelligence that he's able to understand between the lines when someone's speaking to him, or he's able to read a person's face well, or he's able to anticipate what the consequences of something will be. All of that is grounded, b'derech klal, in experience. But there are certain people that they have all experience in the world, and they remain obtuse. And other people have this incredible kayach, each one on his madrega. And sometimes you have people who have this incredible capacity for what we call insight, perception. They see more than is apparent on the surface. But you have to have the background. Now, what happens if you don't have the background? That even a person that might have that kishrin or that kayach may go wrong because he's misinterpreting. Now, the same thing, al achas kama v'kama, is true in Divrei Torah. Sometimes you have a person that, if that same person would have learned all his life, he could have come up with phenomenal chidushei Torah. Now, when we say come up with phenomenal chidushei Torah, what do we mean? So in the light of the Sefer Chassidim, what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared that person, gave him a certain kind of chokhmah, and gave him the tools, the apparatus with which to look at Torah and to see things in Torah his unique way, which then he can give over, and that's called chidush. But without the Torah knowledge, there is no such thing as chidush. Therefore, what I'm making the following observation. A person opens up a chumash and he sees a Rashi. He doesn't know all the Rashis in the Torah, and he doesn't know all the Chazals that Rashi brings, and certainly doesn't know all the Chazals bichlal. So the shaila will be, such a person, do we also say about this person that Hashem gave him his unique chelik in Torah, and because he's made a certain way by the Ribbono Shel Olam, he can see things that other people cannot see, and Mamele, he has an obligation to write every thought that comes out of his head. I mean, is there such a thing? In other words, are we talking about every single person, background or no background, tircha or no tircha, iyun or no iyun? There's a flash in the pan idea, somebody comes up with something, I have a pshat. And this happens to me all the time. People come over to me out of the blue, and they say that they have a pshat. They have a chiddush. And sometimes I listen, and I see an authenticity to that chiddush. There's a certain insight that resonates with at least what I know and what I am able to perceive. And sometimes the person is totally off the wall, or even worse than off the wall. It's a meaningless thing that he's saying. It's meaningless. But he sees it as an insight, because for him, it somehow is helpful. He has something out of it. Now, you may not know what I'm talking about, but that's the way it is. Everybody has in him a desire to produce, to have a baby. You want to have a baby, you want to have, and also it has to be your baby. It's your genetic material that's coming out. Now, that desire to produce without the proper context and without the proper background is in and of itself not worth that much. It could be that coincidentally somebody hits the nail on the head. You have many times that little children, the age of 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9, because they're bright and intelligent, they could be mechavin to a chazal, they can be mechavin to a toisfus. They could. But that does not mean that they are Bali HaToisfus. You understand what I'm saying? It's just a coincidence based on the particular moment. And it isn't, you know, you can be mechavin to Rebbe Kiva Eger's Akasha, sometimes even to Rebbe Kiva Eger's Atshuva. That doesn't mean that you're Rebbe Kiva Eger. The Kiva Eger is not just Kiva Eger because he's brilliant. It's also Kiva Eger because he learned Kol HaTorah Kula. And the same thing is true. If you're looking for authenticity, you're going to find Sfarim today, anybody can write a Sefer. It doesn't take even a publisher anymore. because you use a computer and you go to a copy place and he puts it together with you on a soft cover and there's your sefer. I do it all the time. There's your sefer. So there used to be haskamas, and haskamas necessarily don't prove anything either. Because you have to know that the person who was maskim, of course he is a gadol, no question about it. But that he looked through the sefer and he was mayin in every word. Who has the time for that? Bismana said, there's thousands and thousands of svarim. So there's an expression, ismache gavra uvismache kameya. There's a whole discussion about how you determine the authenticity of a kameya, of an amulet, of a davar nistar that a person uses to protect him or to assist him in some way. So you have a kameya. Who wrote the kameya? Makes a big difference who wrote the kameya. So there's an expression, ismache gavra. The person has a reputation as a mumcha, and the kameya has been proven to be successful, to be effective. So the ismache gavra type of idea is the person writes the haskam and he says, I know him as a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Fine. So there's a good chance that what's in the sefer, and then I leaf through the sefer and I found some interesting things, and I found something I'm going to write a ha'ara about, and there's your haskam. Haskama is not saying that I looked at every single word of the Sefer and I gave my gushpanka on every word or every thought. Can't be. It's not shaykh. All those great people who are giving the Haskamas are busy learning Torah of their own. On rare occasions, somebody knows he has this. It's his Talmud who wrote the Sefer and he taught him those things and he wrote it up, etc. Most of the time, they cannot see the Sefer in its entirety. The Haskama is on the person. The Haskama is on... Here and there, it's like leafing through vegetables. You look through a couple of vegetables, they don't have any bugs, you assume the rest of them don't have any bugs, you know. It's a certain... But in Divrei Torah, anybody can write a Sefer. What I'm driving at is that when he, the Sefer Hasidim, I mean, is talking about that a person is guilty if he doesn't write things down, it has to ring and resonate with an emes of Torah for that point to be valid. I don't think he meant that every time somebody has an idea, he has to write it down because that's Kodesh Kadoshim, it's Oymed L'Doyres, and that's something that Klal Yisrael needs to hear. It has to have the authenticity of the Mechaber. And for the Mechaber to have that authenticity, he has to be a Gadol B'Torah. There's no question about it. You can't have it any other way. So every person has his Koyach and his Chiddush. So it is true that on occasion someone will hit the nail on the head. But it's not that person that every thought that he has should be written down, because otherwise he's going to be punished, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give him that koyach so that he should be able to produce the Torah. There's no such thing as being given a koyach without the person being yogeya to have the background to properly use the koyach. That's the point that I'm making. What it is saying, I believe, is that many more people than you could imagine had the koyach, had they used it properly. In other words, it's like the Rambam says that everybody can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Precisely what that means is a different story. But in the same way, everybody could theoretically have been a great mechadish, in theory. Not everybody the same, but everybody has his chelik and Torah. There's no question about it. But to have your chelik and Torah means the potential is yours to develop. Not developing it, there's no such thing as a shotgun kind of chiddush which comes out of nowhere and does not have the sustainability and the proof necessary, because the background simply is not there. So that's an important thing to appreciate. So what if a person does have, in fact, such a thought? So what should he do? Should he suppress it? Because he could assume that Mistameh, it doesn't have any value. No, I don't think so. Everybody who has a thought should say it b'derech efshar. In other words, maybe there's some truth here, and then try, perhaps, to find someone that could corroborate its authenticity, its value. Having said all of that, let's take a look at what the Afraxa de Anya brings, in addition to what we saw already. So he analyzes, mamish, word for word, everything that we read in the Sefer Chassidim, which is not much, it's just a few lines. But he takes it apart word for word. And he says, Quotes phrases and psukim. Ki lo yseida mayelid yoim ula yochus ula yirachim achoinin das lechol mevakish das behoyer einai hakeyos limtzei chelki b'sayrosai imki mitzarhi usachi nafshi. He says, I decided that I would strengthen my resolve and pursue my chelik in Torah. K'moshe kozav sefer chasidim sim tov kuf lamed zel l'shoinai. And he quotes the sefer chasidim. Yeah. And he says,
the word before Sefer Chassidim, what's Hei Samech Ches?
Sefer Chassidim. Sefer,
okay.
Yeah. But because of Sefer Chassidim, Simon Tov Kuf Lamed Zel Lashoyne, Ki Mitik and Esruach Hashem, Ki Kadosh Baruch Hu Goyzem, Mi Yi Yechochem, Bekama Shonim, Bekama Sforim Yaseh. You'll see a little later on the next page on the bottom, he emphasizes the Kama Shonim, Bekama Sforim. Yeshu Goyzem Lov Shoyse Sefer Echod Ibeza Gimel, V'chein Batalmud, V'chein Lifta Kroya V'chulu. V'kavanosei Zal, right, the pirush ha midbak teimais hanal ketargim yoyisem benozil shom man tikun yasruch kutsha befum kol neviyaya haloy Hashem. Mi tikin es ruach Hashem means the ruach Hashem that is in the mouth of every navi. That's what the targim yoyisem benozil is meisiv on that pasuk in Yeshayahu. Mi tikin, who established ruach Hashem? The Ruach Hashem that they're talking about is the Ruach Hashem that is given over to the human being to say, meaning the Ruach of the Nevi'im. So who established how much a Navi should say? That's what the Sefer Chassidim understands the Pasuk to be implying. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the Navi his Koach to say, and what he's supposed to say, how much he's supposed to say. So the same thing the Sefer Chassidim says applies to every Mechadish of Torah. Some people are endowed to write one sefer, another endowed to write two or three sfarim. So there's a remarkable idea that the quantity of Torah that's being produced by the Mechadesh, how much of a mayon, you know, you dig a well. So they try to anticipate how many gallons per minute the well is going to be able to produce. But that's not enough. That's how powerful the pressure is. But the question is also, how much water is there altogether? So that's a separate chiddush that the Bnei Shalom tells the person how much Torah is going to be able to produce. And that is put into his profile. And he is responsible to make that happen when he grows up. So he writes, Ayin Barashi, B'tziv Joshoshem Zal, Dover Achelasis Luruach Mishkol, Amravacha, Afiluach Kodesh Shura al Nevi'im, Ein Shura Elobe Mishkol, Yesh Misnabi Sefer Echod Vyesh Beis. So you see the Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah says exactly this point, that the Nevi'im are not just given a koyach. You could imagine that a Kodesh Baruch Hu inspires a Navi, and what the Navi produces is like up to the Navi. It's not so. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the quantity and the quality of his Nevuah as well. And some you'll give a koach to make one sefer, and another a koach to make two sfarim. Needless to say, when we speak about one sefer and two sfarim, we're not talking about how many pages in the sefer, and whether it's one sefer, two sfarim, and then you combine them in one cover. He's talking about one sefer, two sfarim. He's talking about two completely different worlds, different inyonim, or different topics, or different kinds of sfarim. Some people have a tremendous koach hadrush, and they have very little koyach achidush in halacha. Others vice versa. Others have both. That's what it means, sefer echad beis farim. It doesn't mean chelek aleph, chelek beis, chelek gimel, chelek dalet. V'yesh ezoich lemikra, here it is. That's what it says in the Medrash Rabbah. Yesh ezoich lemikra, v'yesh lemishna, v'yesh letalmud, v'yesh la'agoda. V'yesh ezoich lekulam. U'b'medrash mishle perik beis, yitzpain la yisharim tushiya, misha shenoitza adam b'mei imay, right? So what does it mean, tzfuna huloi? So he says, al pi mashikosav agoin achidah b'sefer chaz le'ovis. This is something that I mentioned a long, long time ago. The chidah was worried about a chazal. Everybody worries about the chazal. The only one who took the chazal, as far as I know, totally literally, was the Baal HaTanya. And the Baal HaTanya writes that you're not allowed to forget anything that you learned. Period. even if you have a shvacha zikaron, and because of the zikaron's limitations, you have to constantly review, because everybody knows Ashrei Baal Peh. And the only reason we know Ashrei Baal Peh, there's no other reason. You open up another perek in Tehillim, and you may be totally unfamiliar with it, or just barely recognize a pasuk here and there. Why? It's Tehillim. There's only one reason, and the reason is very obvious. When you say something three times a day, for years and years, after a certain point you know it Baal Peh. Everybody knows it Baal Peh. Had the person said all of Tehillim that way, he may very well have known all of Tehillim Baal Peh. So the Baal HaTanya, in his famous Kuntres on Talmud Torah, writes in his Shulchan Aruch Harav, writes Beferish, that when it says in the Pasuk, Hishama, and it says in Pirkei Avos, he's mischayev benafshay, and therefore it means you're not allowed to forget. He said you learn an omud, and you're going to remember the omud for 2 days. Then you have to chazer over the omud at the end of those 2 days before you forget it. So you have another 2 days v'chulu. He says, obviously, after a certain point, you will not be able to learn anything new, because the quantity that you have already amassed and the amount of chazorah that you have to do will take up all your time. So what's now? So he says, that's where you stop. It's pilei ployim. He says, and what about an olam haba? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the rest of the Torah as a matana, because you were so yogeya to remain with the little bit that you were able to preserve because of your limitations. Now, that is one point of view.
I just want to know, how does a person know his limitations?
Well, he's talking about where a person has done all he can do. By the way, you're very right, because you know there are tricks and secrets of how to remember things. And if a person did not study them, even in the Gemara, in the time when everything was Baal Peh, they had secrets and tricks of how to remember better. That's why you have simonim all over the place. Now, why Rabbi Yehuda had to give simonim for the Dom Tzvadei Akinin, which is pretty easy to remember it without it, I don't know. Oh, but the fact is, some explain that the simonim is not to remember the Dom Tzvadei Akinin, but to organize them in a certain way. But be that as it may, there are many, many other simonim scattered all over Shas. Simon Abarak. In the Maseches Gittin, at the beginning of the Masech, or for example, you have the very famous Yal Kagam, correct? You want to remember, said Yal Kagam. Now, and then v'chulu, many of us remember or know a number of simonim. But the simonim purpose was to organize things so that you could recollect them much more easily. Needless to say, it's something that... when everything was Baal Peh, you needed these things. Even maybe the Gedolim needed it. But for us, who have limited capacity, we have to chazer and chazer and chazer and chazer. But there are secrets and tricks of how to remember things better. Once I was discussing this with a chaver of mine around the time of my bar mitzvah, and we were analyzing how to remember things better by we're hearing something and then immediately identifying it with something very funny. So we decided that when in order to remember that Tegucigalpa is the capital of Honduras, we see a monkey hanging from a tree, eating a banana and screaming Tegucigalpa is the capital of Honduras. And at Hayom, I remember that shtus. You understand? I mean, the point is that there are tricks, there are aces. Now when you have failed in your efforts to try to remember, you're right. But there is definitely a point, and that cannot be denied. Some people have fantastic memories, and some people struggle with their memory. It has nothing to do with Alzheimer's. It's from the day one. They just can't remember that well. So with all the tricks and everything, it's lav dafka that a person can remember as well as anybody else. So that person who can't remember, what about Pantishka Chesadvarim? So there are many other Svarim that do not hold him to that. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch Harav says, black on white.
he's going to sit on these two blocks his whole life. He's got other stuff to learn. That's what I'm saying. So in other words,
that's what I'm trying to tell you. So according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, he doesn't learn anything else. That's his learning, because he's not allowed to forget. It's very extreme
and depressing. It doesn't help either to know that he himself had a photographic memory. You know, but the fact of the matter is that this is his shit. However, the Chidah here has a different pshat, and many other Sfarim have other pshatim. And the Chidah's pshat is very fascinating because he emphasizes, like Yofutsu Ma'inoy Secha, like the Chof, he emphasizes in the words of the Chazal, Kol Ashercheach Dover Echad Mitalmudo, with the Vav at the end, not from his Talmud, meaning from the Talmud, but from his Talmud. What does it mean, his Talmud? My Talmud and your Talmud is the same Talmud? No, his Talmud means his Chidushim, his unique Chelek of the Torah that the other person doesn't have, he's not allowed to forget. It's a very remarkable thing. So let's read it inside. The Yadua de Kol Echad Kibel Chelko B'Toyra B'Sinai Vim Zocha Moitzi La'or Mashe Kiblo Nishmosai V'Chidush Ha'hu Ein Acher Yochol L'Chachay. That's itself a tremendous Chidush, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person, brings him into the world, and he gives him his Tafkid, that is a unique Tafkid. And when he gives him a Chelik in Torah, that's a unique Chelik in Torah that only he has and no one else has. So if that person is going to produce that Torah, he's creating his chelek, and he provides that missing piece in the puzzle, as it were. Masha Enkein, if he suppresses it, and it never comes out, or he brought it out into the world, but he never preserved it, and it's lost on account of that, then that piece of the puzzle may be permanently lost. That Bias HaGoyim. So, Ki Hu Chelkoi, Valkei, Im Zocha V'Chidesh Mashikiblo Nishmaso Misinai V'lo Hotzi La'or Val Yedeze Achar Kachu Shachuach Me'ikora Zer Shekol She'omru Kol Ashechech Dover Echod Mi Mishnaso Talmudo His Torah Daika means Dafka, it's with the Vav Mashikibel, right?
Har Sinai.
What does it mean, Kibel Bahar Sinai? That's what he said before. Kibel Chelko B'Torah B'Sinai. He says, all the Neshamas were there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu divvied it up. And each person has his contribution. It's a fantastic idea. So, Memela, every single person, if he's not Mechadesh, of course is not good. But he's saying something even more. Let's say he produced it, but it's like a spark that unless it catches onto something, is going to dissipate. It's going to disappear. So he says that shecheach dover echa. So what's the eitzah? The eitzah. How do you preserve it? In other words, right? So he says, and he doesn't continue it. But what does the Chidah say over there in his Pirush on Pirkei Avos? He says you have to write it down. And if you don't write it down, at the very least, he writes, you have to say it over to at least one person. Interesting. So that's what he's connecting the Sefer Chassidim statement and the pasuk that we have here in Mishlei Yafutza Meinesecha Futza to the words of Kantishka Chesadvarim of the Chazdei Avos of the Chidah in Avos Peregimel Mishnah Ches. And then he writes, "B'zeh shekosuf tzvuna hiloi loy dafka, it's hidden for him." So in other words, he's saying something. It's not just al taksik toiva. Don't be. It's not a midos thing. It's basically that's what you were created for, to be able to produce it and give it over to Klal Yisrael. And if you don't do that, you didn't do your job. That's kilukach mitzvah. Yeah. That's what Chazal Darshan and Sanhedrin Sadek Aleph Kolamenei Alochem Mipitalmid Afilu Berm Shemayinim Akalonoisai. But Pidakon Zal Yesh Lefarish Gamkin Laoim Kemashmoi, right? The Hamineya Mecherim Meshechidish Betvuis Sichloi Betayra Yikvu Alaoim Kuloi Kishleim is called Dor Toli Bashlomis Chedusha Shachach Meador. Behind the Damer Azal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Dor Dor V'Chachomim. So that's the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each neshama its chelek, and then it comes out in different times in different doiros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu each door, and if a person does not produce that Torah, then he's denying not only himself, not only the Talmidim, he's denying Klal Yisrael their chelek. And he becomes a gazlan, because a gazlan sometimes is somebody who takes away, and sometimes a gazlan is who doesn't give back. So he's a gazlan as well. And that's Yavi b'mishpat al kol ne'alam. Yeah. In the next paragraph, he says, what the Sefer Chassidim said, Kama Shonim and Kama Sforim Yasa, Ulai Ratzaloima, the Ketzef Shnois Chayav, Ulfi Erech Hatzorech, Lemispa Hasforim Sheyasa. So it's an amazing idea that it's conceivable that a person is given life according to the amount of time that he needs to produce the Torah that's given to him to produce. Now, you'd never be able to say that unless you knew that there is a specific amount. Most people think that as long as you live, you produce. And how much you produce depends on how long you live. He's saying the exact opposite. He's saying that the amount that you produce is a fixed entity, which is, to begin with, given to the person, and the years are given to him to be allowed to produce that amount. It's a remarkable, remarkable idea. And then he quotes the psukim to try to confirm that nakuda. I just want...
So, of course, you have to take the time out of the sefer. Don't rush it.
No, because you see, you're making a... You're making a mistake. He's not saying that as long as you're being mechadesh, you'll live. He's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a certain number of svarim. And that's... So notice the package is there. These are all esoteric things. You think that we can simply quantify them, come out with numbers, you know, 50 years, 45 years. It means that their understanding is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a koyach and a tafkid, and when you fulfill your tafkid, then the neshama goes up with shamayim, and is really much better off. So the tafkid here is almost like a pain, because being in this world, except for the opportunity to do Torah and mitzvahs, is a pain. Ayin loy rasa, if a person is zaychen, the schar and oylem haba, it's a much better place. But you know, oylem haba is akut tezach, like you know they say. But the fact is that here we're dealing with something else entirely. Normally, how do we conceive? HaKadosh Baruch Hu produces human beings. And these human beings have responsibilities and obligations to fulfill a Torah that's already there as best as they can. But there's no specific agenda, or there's no quantum that he has to accomplish. Here we're talking about accomplishments, production. It's a different story. You know, a person's mechuyev to put on tefillin. How much tefillin is he mechuyev to put on? So if somebody comes and suggests that this person was created to put on tefillin 5,000 times, so therefore he's going to live that number of days. No such thing. Because tefillin is not a production. Tefillin is a kiyum mitzvah. You understand the difference? Now, in everything that we have to do, there's also something called Talmud Torah. But Talmud Torah in this respect is different than tefillin. Because besides that there's a mitzvah to fulfill, that there's a chiyuv to learn every day, and so on, there's also this unique concept that each person is given a singular chelek in Torah for him to create, and the koichos to be able to produce that, and the amount is a quantum that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, of course, but he's given the years to fulfill that quantum. And if he lives his life properly, as I told, that's what I was trying to drive at before, and provides himself the proper hakdama, so that the chiddush is genuine and authentic, and is founded in a reality of yediyas ha-Torah to the, again, according to what he needs to produce that chelek, that means he led his life well, because there's an implicit assumption here that you can't get around. That the time that it takes to be able to reach that level and to produce these things has to be spent wisely. A person can't say all of a sudden after 30 years of philandering and playing around and being a playboy that I'm going to start taking life seriously all of a sudden and now my chelik will be produced. No such thing. Because just like you can suppress it even though you're learning by not writing it, etc., you can certainly suppress it, alachas kama v'kama, if you don't learn to begin with. It's not going to come to you in a cholam. It's a creation which requires a tremendous amount of work. It's not a painting that a person takes the ink and just throws it, and whatever happens, look, and then you put it in the Museum of Modern Art. This is not a Museum of Modern Art. This has to go to the museum of the Metropolitan, you know, in the Louvre. There's no such thing. You have to have a painting that you spent hours, days at composing, and then you spent hours and days setting up the hues and the colors, and then it takes years sometimes to produce that painting. And all the Haravanya is not going to produce a chelik that is not yours. That's the chiddush over here. It's unbelievable. The person, and by the way, you see that many people have different kinds of koyches. That's what he meant. Yesh, that's what it's a medrash, really. It's a medrash rabba. It isn't a sefer chassidim. There's a person that has a koyches in halacha. You see it. You see a person that has koyches in halacha. What do the koyches in halacha require? First of all, asuke shmaitza aliba de hilchus is a very big thing. You have to be able to come to a maskan. There are many people who see all the tzadim equally, and they can't get past that. But they're brilliant in seeing those tzadim. They don't necessarily become poskim. And then there's a need to know reality. When the whole inyan of electricity came out, so there were a lot of different svarim on electricity. And some simply missed the boat. Why? Because they didn't have a handle on the technical aspects of it, on the science part. And since they didn't, they weren't able to relate. One of the great things about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, for example, is that whenever he was dealing with these esoteric things, which for a Talmud Chacham is really way out of his orbit, it's not his thing, somehow he was able to manage to encompass it when it was explained to him very easily and very quickly, al atzara yoseh toiv, at least as far as science got at that time. And that's a tremendous kayach. We know that there are people, we know because we realize la'acha ha'maisa, that there are people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted so that we should not be bereft of poskim that are able to relate the world of today to the corpus of Torah of yesterday. We know that. And that's their gift. But their gift to Klal Yisrael is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them that way. And he gave them that chelik. And then there's someone who's an incredible darshan. He doesn't have a yad in halacha. He doesn't have but he has a tremendous kayach of musar and drush and hashkafa, and there are those as well. And a person doesn't become a mashgiach because he, you know, there's a sarcastic, much more sarcastic than anything I produce. There's a sarcastic remark that a mashgiach came over to a fellow, and who was kind of like sitting there, just you know, chewing tobacco, so to speak. He wasn't learning seriously. So he says, Yankel, what's going to become of you? So he says, v'diavad, I'll become a mashgiach. It's not like that, Rabbi said. Not like that at all. It's not like that. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a koyach. First of all, a person has to be authentic. If he's not authentic, he's not worth anything. To be authentic, you have to be very oisgarbet. You know what oisgarbet means? You have to work on yourself and create the beautiful edifice, and then you can convey to others what Hashem expects of you. No geichazi in the world is ever going to be able to accomplish anything. He could be with Elisha his entire life. You have to be an Elisha. Ish kadosh over aleinu tamid. And that's a tremendous avoda. So it doesn't just happen that a person has a flowery language or a unique way of looking at life, but that is his chelik though. And when a person is working on himself, imagine, do you have to understand that for years and years and years, Yoimam Valaila, the Mira Mashkiach Rabbi Yeruchim, was learning Torah Gemara He learned with Reb Naftali Trop. And the way they would learn, they would all open a Rashba and they would take turns. And this one would say, what do you have to ask over here? And he would see if he could be Mechavid the Rashba's Kasha. This was on an extremely high level. And years of intense learning. What does it have to do with being a Mashgiach? One would think nothing. But he's a Sar HaTorah who becomes a Mashgiach. And then when he became the Mashgiach, the biggest Talmidei Chachamim in the Mir, who were Ga'onim and Mechadshim Nifloim, Rabbi Yoina Minsker, the Yoina Salem, Hashem Yim Kondom, one after another, mamish giants, giants of Torah, sat and learned by Asmoda Atzuma. They were like nothing before him. They acted like Avak Ragleim. That's how they were Machshiv the Mir Mashgiach. You think that comes because he has like a nice twist of phrase, or because he knows how to tell you to daven properly? You're talking about giants. So there's a giant in being a Mashgiach also. And that kind of giant, Rabbi Yonah Minsker would be the first one to admit he could never be. That's his chelek. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't produce just that kind of a person, that chelek would not come out. So the notion of it's a very profound idea. That's what I'm trying to say to you. It isn't simply each person has his chelek and you shouldn't abort it, you should give it out, and you should preserve it. But it has to be with greatness. We are talking about a chelek in Torah that the person produces because he was leading and constructing a life that allows for that chelek to come out. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just pop out because, why not? I have ideas. That's my point. Ideas is not what they're talking about. They may have their own merit in their own right, but that's not what they're talking about. Anyway, I just wanted to finish. Give me 5 more minutes, because since he was just Nifter not so long ago, rather buried in Spas right next to the Beis Yosef's cave. Interesting. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so we're talking about Reb Menashe Klein, Zechayna Levracha. So he wrote many, many Sfarim. And in one of his Sfarim, he has very interesting tshuvas. So one of his tshuvas, he was asked, what if instead of writing down his Chidushei Torah, a person recorded everything on tape? Is that sufficient as far as what the Sefer Chassidim or the Chidah in Pentishka Chesadvarim Asheru Einecho in his Pirkei Avos Chibur, is that sufficient? So he writes, it's one of the Talmidim of the Yeshivas asking him this question. Mechtavcha בחידוש התורה קיבלתי בזמנו אמנם לרוב התירדס לא הספקתי לעין בו עד הלילה והנה היא בזה בקיצר בדבר שלא עוסקו מה שכוסו בספר חסיד בסימנטוב כופלם את כל מי שגילו לו הקדוש ברוך הוא דבר תורה ואין לו כויסבו ויוכל לכתוב הרי זה גויזל מי שגילו לו כי לא גילו לו אלא לכתוב תכסיב סויד השם ליראו ובריסו לו דיום וכסיב יפוצה מנסך החוצה. Venistapek, and the Shaila was, E ze davka biksiva, or afil al yedei tape, shenishadish biomenu, yotze bazet. Im yosim chidush of al tape, because of bazet stode asafik, and he wants to know what his opinion is. Yeah. So he says, Nahanirin. First he quotes the Leivarye, and from the, yeah. Vanira the yesh biksivas chidushe toira tlosatami. He has this idea that there are three in Yonim. Aleph, in other words, writing Chidushei Torah has three aspects, he says. One, Sheyeda ba'atzmai, Beis, Sheyodia la'acherim. And Gimel, Sheyamud l'doyreis, V'loisi shochach mipizaro. So he neyda ba'atzmai, Yadinun mikroda said Hashem li'reyov. And he goes through all the three things and where you know it from. So he says that da Masha maklitim al hatape ein zeksiva klal elik shadam medaber al tape oisah shem ktsas roishem veino oisah shem oisiyos bediburo elik shemaisim achaka hatape al machoina recorder hamachoina mitzikolus mehatape ke elu shasa b'shas hadibur v'nishma kilu hayusham dibur avu poshet al tape la atzma ein zeksiva klal v'gam iev shel likroi masha olav b'li machoina klal l'chein. So it's very fascinating because in this age of technology, today we are going away from real ksiva on paper or parchment,
Kindle,
in a very precipitous fashion, and it's hard to hear something like that, especially based on the Sefer Hasidim. L'maynaf gemina, how you preserve it. Someone would have asked me the question, is a tape good enough? So I would have said, in those dinim that is a halach of ksiva, of course not. But and also maybe, in the same sense, if there's an iser of ksiva of certain things, such as on cholamai, some things are permitted to be written, some things are not, of course, then in those halachas, you can ask the question, is this considered ksiva? If you take a photograph, all right, and it's a digital photograph, is it considered ksiva? Is it considered like writing? Those kind of questions you can ask, is it ksiva, is it not ksiva? When you have to preserve something, the mehecha teisa that it's al yedei ksiva. In those days, there was simply no other opportunity. What are you going to do besides write? There is no electronic device that you can record it on. And as far as remaining forever, it's quite conceivable that the electronic device will record something and it will remain longer. In fact, they all recommend that the photographs that you have, which have a tendency to fade over time, that you should have them digitized. Now, Fashtetzach, you need a medium then to display it. But the medium to display it is no different than the paper that you need. So I'm not 100% convinced of his argument. In fact, I don't agree with him. But the fact is, it's a fascinating thing. He says that ksiva means ksiva even here. Very interesting. It would seem to me I just want to finish with a ha'ara, with a thought. Writing or not writing, it says in Koheles, Hisoya b'ni asoy sfarim harbe ein keitz, belag harbe v'yigiyas bosa. So, there were, over the generations, many who wrote sfarim, and if we had all of those sfarim, many of which we do not have because of our persecutions and the burning of Sfarim and the destruction of Torah. If we had all of those Sfarim, that even by the time the modern printing, from printing and on, the modern world, even by that time, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Sfarim. There's a problem. We're talking about the producer, and we're talking about one producer. What about the Shemaya? You produce Torah into the world, and the reason you need to preserve it is for other people to be able to have it available to them. What happens when there is a sefer produced every hour, and I cannot learn that sefer, except that it takes me over a year? So what do I do now? So that's a parsha that we're not going to discuss, but I just wanted to be ma'orah this parsha. That from the production of so much chelik of Torah comes a problem that there's too much good. You know, there's revois hatayva. And that is a problem that needs to be discussed in its own right and in its own time. How do I negotiate the triage of everything that's handed to me? And it's a very important nekuda. The only thing I want to say very quickly is the following. Everything in Torah is nimshal to all sorts of items. Lechem, mayim, yayin, dvash, and so on. Everybody knows that there's basics, the meat and potatoes, as it were, of Torah. It should be everyone's responsibility, as much as some other things are exciting and grab you, or are and maybe that's why they grab you. A person has to know that he cannot get away from the foundational structures of Torah if he ever wants to amount to anything at all. And the Aleph Beis of Torah is your Chumash with Rashi. It's your Mishnayis with the Rav, so to speak. It's your basic idea of Shas with Rashi. You have to have a foundation. And the jumping and flittering like a butterfly, you know, from flower to flower, you know, gathering a little honey there and a little honey there, it's good for bees. And even bees, their assiduousness is that they stick to nectar, they stick to honey, and they don't krich to other inyonim. So for them, honey is meat and potatoes. But for us, honey is a sideshow. It's a sidebar. And to be open to everything that you're exposed to, I believe that just like there's a chelik of production, there's also, each person has his responsibility to learn Torah in an intelligent way. And you can't simply say, today I'm going to learn, and what I learn is irrelevant as long as I am learning. That's also not so pashut. Because to arrive at my chelik of Torah, I have to have that background. That's number one. And besides that, there are certain things that are more important than others to know and to learn. And those foundational structures are not necessarily easy and not always so appealing. And they deal sometimes with topics that are not on my radar screen right now. Having said all of that, I have to be moisif, because otherwise I would not be true to the halacha, that the Shach Paskins, as many as you know, of you know, that when a person's time is extremely limited, he should learn first Halacha Psukah because of a different reason entirely. Without knowing the Halacha Psukah, he doesn't know what to do. Based on that, a person should be busy learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa and the various and many Sfarim that come out every other day, which are very, assuming that their mechabrim are reliable, about how to do specifically this and that, which sometimes is very complicated, especially in a modern world. So you have to know about tefillin and about tzitzis and about mezuzah. You have to know about Shabbos and Yontif. You have to know about Kibbud Av Va'Em. I'm giving a shiur Kibbud Av Va'Em. I'm spending days and days just discussing a topic such as if a parent tells you what to do and insists upon it, and it's not a service component. Like, for example, he tells you whom to marry or whom not to marry. Believe it or not, it's a very complicated topic. But all of this, a person has to know, because that's how he's supposed to lead his life. And it could be that it'll take up so much time that he won't be able to do much more. So be it. You have to do your work, your parnasa. You have to live your life. And not to mention all the chasnas that you have to go through.